On this episode of The Playbook, I have Chief Strategy Officer at Lyft, Raj Kapoor. And although we have multiple views on how we get to where we want to go, he focuses in on the skills, the knowledge, and the desire to figure out the correct route to success, especially in the rideshare business.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I am with Raj Kapoor, the Chief Strategy Officer here at Lyft. Extraordinary room, by the way. I saw you walk through the Willy Wonka door behind me. It is great. I've actually remember meeting you years and years ago here in the Silicon Valley, but one of the things I love about your career, which mirrors mine, is that if we reverse engineered our careers of how we ended up where we were, people wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Right? And poor young people, when they're like, well, how did you get to where you are? And I take them through that journey and they're like, well, I can't really re-engineer that. Being an engineer, I'd love to know what background and experience you do have in order to end up as this chief strategy officer here at Lyft.
Yeah, I think, you know, more important than even specific degrees is having a mindset and a mindset of curiosity. And, you know, when I was growing up, I was always curious about technology and what the future could be. Maybe because I wasn't happy in the present space, but I was excited about the future and what it could bring.
And when you're young, when you say you're excited about technology, there's a lot of young people that watch this. I want to get them aligned with what we're talking about. What types of technology existed or that excited you?
Oh, you know, what existed was the Commodore 64 computer.
Nice.
And one of my biggest ahas was getting a 1200 baud modem, which is the speed at which not even as thinkable today.
Right. I worked with the 9600 baud modem with Westlaw and the loud sounds.
There
and,
you go. So you remember
how
slow but exciting the world was.
Extremely.
Back then. And so I was able to first have my communication that was over this thing, which wasn't the internet at the time, but was connected to computers. And I was amazed. And I was amazed that you can then publish content, you know, using at the time Sprite Graphics. It was called BBS's bulletin boards. So that to me was an exciting time to think about what the future could hold. I was also fascinated by space. Most little kids are.
Yeah.
And that got me thinking about transportation too. So those two things were always stuck with me, but that curiosity was there. And I thought that having a grounding of engineering would certainly help. But then when I went to school at Carnegie Mellon, what I realized is that you can bring that innovation to business too. And you can think about innovation not just in a technology sense, but in innovating how business is done, what you do. And that was, I would say, a belief that was not limiting, which allowed me throughout my life to say, I can reinvent myself. As long as that curiosity is there and the energy is there, you can do anything.
Speaking of mindset too, one of the most difficult questions I have to answer, because I grew up in a house with a single mom who believed doctor, lawyer, or failure. She might have included engineer as well. But in that course, I find it really difficult nowadays because I am an entrepreneur, and so are you, by the way. But you know, a lot of kids come up to me and go, do I really need to go to college?
Yeah.
And college is much more expensive now.
Yeah.
But yet, we both went through graduate degrees, some of the finest schools on earth.
Yeah.
But I'm not quite sure how I should answer, in my own opinion. I know what I do answer. Can I get your answer to that question? What advice or how you would approach that answer when someone asks you, should I go to college? I want to be an entrepreneur. What should I do?
You know, most importantly, I think what people are realizing in today's world is that there's not one size that fits all. There is no one answer there. I think that college absolutely still has a lot of value. There are things broken about the situation. You're learning things that you may not apply. The way you're learning things don't necessarily are as relevant to how you're going to actually perform and live life. But there's a lot of positive there. It's what you make of it. So if you go out of your way to join clubs, to start businesses, which is what I ended up doing, and use your curiosity around these like-minded people and these professors that have been around for a long time and the diasporic community that's around there, I think it can be, it's a phenomenal Petri dish upon which you can grow. That is you have 4 years to experiment. If you look at it from that perspective and chart your own course, I think it's a wonderful thing. If you go in and try to punch the clock and take the required courses, it's a waste of time.
Absolutely. And I think, too, the emotional intelligence part of, you know, a lot of engineers don't have that capacity. And so if all you strictly want to do is code, obviously there's places that you can learn and enhance that ability, get the mentorship. But I believe we're losing a connectivity of the emotional, empathetic side of feeding information from different eclectic people. That it's nice, as you went into business school, for example, at Harvard, you probably ran into other people that were excelling in political science and sociology. Bradley Tuss, for example, who's in your space, right? Yeah. Here's a guy who in public administration, understanding, and somehow played a crucial role in your industry by figuring out the regulations of how we can change the shared economy for vehicles. Which is going to change the world. In fact, I think it's really cool that you dreamed. I was hoping you would take that pitch and knock it out of, you know, I really was involved in the space, you know, for technology, because that was the extraordinary technology when we were born.
Yeah.
Landing on the moon, going to space.
It was almost impossible.
Right.
And that's what was exciting.
Yeah. And I think here at Lyft, one of the things that excites me is the autonomous vehicles, which is specifically one of the key strategies that you work on. And it's extraordinary because I'm going to ask you a few questions about it. I don't think people realize beyond, oh, wow, you know, driving without someone in control, it's life-changing for Earth.
Yes.
The environment, the economy, many different industries will change dramatically, even more than the car industry or the cab industry changed when, you know, Uber and Lyft came about.
Yes.
What's the most extraordinary thing that excites you about the automated vehicles today?
I think what you said, it's, you know, there's a lot of attention that's being put on the actual technology, which is fascinating and exciting, and I encourage you to give it a shot in Las Vegas. We have self-driving cars that are operational that are there, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. What's exciting is applying when I was a kid, thinking about the future and having a curiosity of what else could change. It's these second order effects that you talked about. It's not enough, and Lyft has said this many times, for us to just launch autonomous cars. What they need to be is autonomous, shared, multiple people in the same car as well, and electric too. Because when we think about business has a responsibility, and you've talked about this in your books, to solve society's problems. It's not just about making a profit. And this is the main reason why I came. It's because of the sense of purpose that's there. Purpose and profit can go together. And one of the biggest issues that we have is that 2.5 billion people over the next 10 years are going to be moving into cities. And that's a great thing because people are more connected. And you can live a better life. You can have a more efficient use of resources if you live in a city. However, transportation today is not ready for that. The average consumer owns over 2 cars. They use it 4% of the time. And it's taking up, cities are designed around cars today. They're not designed around people. This is one of those examples that if you just plot the lines, it's not going to work just adding more roads if you get 2.5 billion people moving into the world cities. So we have to think about a different way of doing things. And autonomous is part of the solution. But what we see is a solution that involves a lot of different elements, which is what Lyft is about now. So I want to get from point A to point B in a city. And I want to do it in an efficient way. And I want to do it in a way that's a good experience. So what we want to do is offer you all the options there. The transit system plays a role in it. And it's an underutilized resource in America, for sure, compared to other countries. Another resource is micromobility. Bikes and scooters. You see them everywhere. It's just gone. Now, there's a reason for it because it really solves a less than 2 mile transportation problem. Now, what do you do about more traditional use of vehicles? That's where autonomous comes in. So, with autonomous and electric and shared means less cars. So, when you add in autonomous, you don't have more cars, you have less because people are sharing the vehicles. And today, over 35% of Lyft's rides are shared. So, we're already making a dent there without autonomous. Electric is important because emissions are a huge problem. And this is something
bigger than safety if the car should crash, right? More people die from emissions.
You got it. More people die from emissions because of the health-related issues. And, of course, what's going on with climate change is a massive, my own personal view, it's the biggest problem that we face. And so transportation is now the number one cause of greenhouse gas emissions in the United States. The EPA released this. And so it is our imperative to utilize those technologies, electric, shared, so that we have less congestion, less emissions, and a safer experience on the road. And autonomous is a key technology to get there. So the excitement is not that there's not someone driving, it's that you enable the growth that the human population should have in cities. And it's a critical piece to bridge us from where the future is to where we are right now.
It's so interesting too, because in that shared economy, it also brings us together. Because I think for me, global change, the climate change, as well as happiness, right? I'm on a crusade, you and I should team up, right? Because I'm on a crusade that I believe we have a happiness problem as well. Yeah. Part of that's because of what's happening with this last mile. And that's really what we're talking about. Yeah. And all the logistic companies are talking about the last mile. And I think there's some great overlap. It's just with autonomous vehicles, not just human beings,
yeah,
right? That we have that last mile of services and products and solutions that are coming from, no matter what we do technology-wise, I believe that we still are going to have to deal with, okay, 2. Whatever billion in the cities, how do we get clothing and food and purchase items to them, right?
Yes.
No matter what, that's the only thing we can't virtually really utilize,
yes,
right? We have to eat something.
Yes.
And I think there's going to be, once again, a solution that's related to Lyft that will provide that. The other one is not just on ground. And so do you look at, even today as a strategy officer, the idea of, you know, I was thinking the other day how nice it would be for a pod to come to my house at whatever time I call it, and I lie down and it flies me to New York or up to Oakland from Orange County, right?
Yeah.
And literally it lays me right into, you know, the Hyatt, right, parking lot until I wake up to go check in.
Absolutely.
Or maybe the pod actually could get into a room somehow. But do you look at air as well as ground?
I think air is absolutely an opportunity, but if I had to prioritize, there's so much that we can do on ground transportation. And there's so many problems to fix and so much innovation that's there. And it is, relatively speaking, an easier problem to solve. There's a lot of challenges still with air in terms of battery consumption, if you assume electric, and rights of way and other things that are there. But I think in the long, long run, it will be another mode of transportation in that mix. Another one that's often overlooked is walking.
That's so awesome.
We've actually, you know, we went back and incorporated even more walking into a system. We have a mode called Shared Saver, which is even lower cost to a consumer. But you have to walk a couple minutes, both at the beginning at your destination. And it's taken off, and it's a better thing, again, for human beings, for health, for the city. And that combined with, we can take less cars, then we can start increasing sidewalk space, less space for roads, and we can redesign cities around these modes of transportation like walking.
That is awesome. Because in my side of the business, I tell people all the time, for example, in sales, what should I do on social media? And I said, first of all, I need you to learn how to emotionally connect to somebody in person.
Yeah.
The best thing you can do is ask how you can help somebody, right? We can provide service, be of value to other people, and then also ask, do you know anybody that can help me? Then we can amplify it and perpetuate it online.
Yeah.
But the obvious basics are still very important, and I'm glad that you brought that up. Now, one of the things I want to do too is, you've reached a great success level. What part of your past career do you think has helped you most with your current position?
You know, I think one of the most important things to take forward now is to hiring people better than me. Knowing your weaknesses. And one of the things that I think it took me a while to realize in life is that vulnerability is our biggest strength.
So you watch my videos, right? Yeah. People's like, man, you're so vulnerable. I go, that makes me invulnerable.
Exactly. Yeah. And what it does is it attracts people to you.
Yeah.
And to get things done in this complex world today, like self-driving cars, it's never a solo act. It's a team sport. And so how do you surround yourselves with the best people to do that? And then the other piece of it, like you said, is it's not enough to be the greatest coder in the back room if you don't know how to communicate. Communication is absolutely critical. And so figuring out how to communicate the same message 7 times, because people don't get it after the first time, that applies just as much in an internal team as it does to the external world as well that's there. So I think those were hard lessons, and I had some failures in life to get there. But there are important lessons that I think that enabled me now to take on a new challenge like this.
Right, and that mindset is critical about life being lessons, and lessons will keep on coming until they learn them. And every successful person that I have understands that every mistake they've made becomes a miracle when they've learned from it. Speaking of mindset, I'd love to get your advice, you know, because I think mindset's everything. I've lived by change my mindset, change my life. Wayne Dyer, right? Change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Yeah.
As a scientist like yourself and an engineer, you know the math behind that.
Yeah.
Down to a quark, for example, you know how it can take on intention. What mindset advice would you give to a young entrepreneur starting out? Because I think mindset would be the best advice someone could have.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. First of all, what I go back to is curiosity and never being satisfied with the status quo. Thinking about, you know, and I think there's a, you know, Elon Musk does a great job of this, which is that the way he solves some of the most amazing problems across so many disciplines, from space to solar to cars, is by going back to first principles. And if someone says, we do this because of why, he says, why? Well, we do it because of that. Well, why that? Well, we do that because of this. Well, why that? And ultimately, you get down to the base level of an assumption that can be changed in doing it. So relentlessly ask. People are afraid to ask.
I love you.
And so that,
thank you.
That I think is a critical. If you just ask, and if you listen, and if you can communicate and motivate other people, that's the basis. You know, when I was a VC, we people often asked, "How do you judge?" You know, I was 7 years. I met about 300 companies a year. And how do you, and we only made 1 to 2 investments a year. It's one of the hardest things, is you have to say no 98% of the time, 99% of the time. And so what's the criteria that you use in early stage VC when there's not a lot there? There's not a lot of numbers or anything like that. And really, you know, it comes down to two things. It comes down to team and opportunity. And team is, people think it's, oh, you just get to know the person, the personality. It's that. There's a mindset, like you just said. But the work that they present to you and how they thought about the problem is a reflection on the team. You realize that that business plan is going to change 10 times over. All the businesses I've been operating, my own plus Lyft, have changed significantly.
Right, evolution.
They were not what they started
right in
doing it. But the team had the insights, you could tell, that they will, as the winds change, they can change the tack of the ship. And then opportunity is, if you're not going for something really, really big, why are you doing it? Because it takes the same amount of effort to go after something small, and it's the same amount of risk. So thinking big and having that team that can be vulnerable, that can think through problems, that is demonstrates their ability through the planning, through the presentation, through the communication, are the two things that we look for.
That's amazing. And it was funny because my last question that we're getting to was revolving around exactly that, the team, because from the moment I came up here to your office, your team was extraordinary.
Oh, that's great.
You know, the people from the systems that were in place, but the people were extraordinary, obviously including our friend back there. But I just felt an energy, and I always tell people in my office, I want people to say, I love the energy in here.
Yeah.
And there's just a unique atmosphere, but the people, you could tell there's a team and an energy. What do you look for now, last question, when you're hiring someone?
Yeah.
Because you're looking to hire people smarter than you,
yeah,
at least with the situational knowledge of what you want. What do you look for when hiring someone?
You know, if I had to reduce it down to one word, it's purpose.
Wow.
But purpose is made up, I think it's the intersection of a couple things. One, it's that they're good at what they do, and you can look at the evidence that's there. You can talk to people that have worked with them. Two, is that they want to make a difference in the world. So it's not just that. It's also that they're good at what they do, in doing it. And three, is that they really enjoy the journey, not just the destination. Because you have to work with this person. So it's the people that are along there. If you can cover those things, because their job content, just like I said, as an entrepreneur, is going to change three times over. So they have to have those anchors that are there. And we've been lucky because our co-founders have been so focused on purpose since day one. You know, when other people were drinking beer at their fraternity parties, Logan was on the board of the Santa Barbara Transportation trying to figure out how to make buses more efficient. It's been with him since day one. This isn't just a get-rich-quick scheme.
I love that.
And so that purpose that comes from the founders is something that then emanates. So hopefully when you open the door and you come in, you see it.
That is amazing. Well, I did not pay this guy to preach for me all the different things that I love to teach. This is incredible. Remember to ask, number one, purpose, obviously, but I think the main thing is to be happy. You need to enjoy the consistent every day, persistent without quit, pursuit of your potential. And Lyft is absolutely a company that's doing that. And you as a leader, not just here, but all throughout the Silicon Valley and America and hopefully even the world now, I think leading the way as an example, I'm just blown away. I'm just so happy that we've had the opportunity to extract such exceptional knowledge from you, Raj. And thank you so much for joining me on The Playbook.
Thanks so much.
Perfect. This is Raj Kapoor with Dave Meltzer's Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.